If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn with us to Jeremiah, the 18th chapter. Father, we thank you for the anointing of God that breaks the yoke and sets the captive free. We thank you, Lord, that even this week we've celebrated seeing marriages restored and reunited. We thank you, Lord, that we've seen prodigal sons and daughters, fathers and mothers come back to the Father's house. Oh, this is a good day in the kingdom of God. Lord, anything can happen today because you said in your word so long ago, I am the God of all the earth. Is there anything too hard for me? Father, we agree with that answer that came back from your word. There is nothing too hard for thee. Lord, forgive us for any doubt and unbelief. Father, we just cast all of our negativisms and our fears and our unbelief and that voice that continually says, it won't happen, it won't happen, it will never happen. And we just agree with God's word today that so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return void, but it shall accomplish. It shall accomplish that which pleases God, and it will prosper in the thing that it's accomplishing. Father, we just approach your word today thanking you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. God, the greatest power, the greatest asset we have today on this earth is the written word of God, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And we receive your word. I want you just to say it out loud. We receive your word today, Lord. I receive it for me, Lord. It will not return void. It shall accomplish what pleases you, and it will prosper. My life will prosper by what I hear today. I say it in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen and amen. Jeremiah, the 18th chapter, beginning at verse 1, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? What God was saying, O house of Israel, am I not greater than this potter? Do I not have greater ability than this earthly potter that you see at work? O house of Israel, cannot I do with you and your life and your problems and your needs and all that you are? Cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. Folks, this is strong today. Yesterday, we were so privileged to stand and assist in repeating the vows of a 25th anniversary that would have been disaster, divorce, all that goes with it all the way through, but God. And I used this reading yesterday as a part of that moment of celebration, that moment of thanksgiving, that moment of giving God all the glory. And I just couldn't get away from it afterward. And the theme kept coming to my heart over and over again. Good news, the potter has not quit. Good news, the potter has not quit. The potter is still at work. The potter is still in business. And yet the earthly potter is only an earthly potter. But oh, there's a heavenly potter. Just as there is a heavenly Father, they are one and the same. So today I shout it from the housetops from Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. Good news! The potter has not quit. He's still in the yellow pages. You see, when I read this story, to me it's a story of restoration. It's a story of restoration. And as I think of this story, I think of how many verses, just a few of them that apply. Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Matthew 12, 13, Mark 3, 5, and Luke 6, 10. All give us the account that Jesus goes to church on his Sabbath day. And he sees a man with a withered hand. And you know, Jesus always made a lot of mileage out of anything that he did. It always benefited the one that was helped, but Jesus always did a teaching by his miracles. Almost invariably, he does a teaching, either an object lesson or a verbal teaching lesson. So Jesus goes to church and he sees a man with a withered hand, and they were watching to see what he was going to do because they knew what he was in the habit of doing. You know, it's good when you have such good habits that people watch to see if your habits are going to follow through today as they have observed you in the yesterday. They were watching. They knew that withered hand would not go unnoticed by Jesus. And they were just observing to see what Jesus would do. And you know, Jesus told him to stand up. And then Jesus said, stretch forth your hand. And I don't know how you stretch forth a withered hand. You've got to think about it first. And then faith is mixed with that. And then reason comes into being at the same time when you look at that hand and say, this hand has been withered all my life. And the man says, stretch it forth. But the hand has never stretched forth. You know, there's a little thing that can go on there real quick. They say when you're drowning, your entire life comes before you. An entire life of living with a withered hand. And yet Jesus said, stretch forth your hand. What am I going to do? Consider this to be an insult? Hide it in my robe and run away from the crowd lest they make fun of me? Or if the man said I could do it, I hear he does this on a regular basis. If he said I can, I will, and his hand stretch forth. There was an act of faith there. There was an act of faith. I believe the man committed himself to an act of faith. And no matter what the history of that hand had been, no matter what the history of religion had been, no matter what his life had been, Jesus said, stretch forth your hand. And he said, yes. And the hand became restored. It's interesting. Mark uses the word restored whole as the other in Mark 3, 5. Restored whole is the other. And the Pharisees went forth immediately and took counsel with their enemies, the Herodians, against Jesus, how they could destroy Jesus. It's very interesting. Adversity makes for strange bedfellows. And so they get together with the enemies, their arch enemies, and they find common ground. You see, the word came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house. This is all about the potter, who is God. It's about the clay, and that's us. And it's about the wheel, this continuing process of change. Today we're not in the potter's house of an earthly potter. I remember many years ago going to Colorado with my parents, and I noticed it was still there when we were there sometime last year. Van Briggle Pottery. I suppose they still are in the pottery business. And I remember the questions coming to the potter as we all stood there. I was just a young guy then. And the question, have you ever read over in Jeremiah the 18th chapter? And it was already on the sign behind the potter, you know, as if the potter had never heard for the first time that there was a biblical incident where a potter worked with the clay. But he was very kind and he was very courteous. And he said, yes, he had, and he continued to work. Just like a good potter does. He didn't stop. He just kept working. The clay is every one of us. The potter is Father God. And the wheel is this continuing process of change. God's changing us. The Lord said, go to the potter's house. I'm going to give you an illustrated message. I will speak to you there. This wonderful God of restoration. Jeremiah the 30th chapter verse 17. And I will restore health unto thee. And I will heal thee of thy wounds. God knows your wounds. God knows your surface wounds. God knows your bruises. In spite of the fact that all called you an outcast. Oh, what a verse. I will restore health unto thee and heal thee of thy wounds. People may write you off. People may give up on you. People may even forsake you, but God will never leave you nor forsake you. In fact, he said, I will restore health unto thee and heal thee of thy wounds. Good news, the potter is at work. Good news, the potter has not quit. Joel 2:25, it's never too late with God. It's never too late with God. I will restore unto you the wasted and the lost years. God not only said, I'll restore a year. God said, I will restore the years. Plural. I'll not just restore this little thing or that isolated thing or this big thing, but God said, I will restore the years. I don't know what that does to you, but I'm seeing God restore years. I'm seeing God restore years. When we have planted and when we have sown and when it seemed like nothing significant would ever come from our life or ministry, I'm seeing God restore the years. Even when it looked like Satan just stole us blind, God's returning it sevenfold because we know who the thief is. We know who the thief is. Don't waste your energy, your breath, your emotions on fretting over the past. Just get a good grip on the now because it's your future. And then when you come to the end, according to Psalms 23, he restoreth my soul. When you're on the mat and you're down for the count of nine, don't stay there for 10. He restoreth your soul. So ladies and gentlemen, as we look at the word of God, three accounts in the gospel tells us that his hand was restored whole, complete, healed as the other. Jeremiah 30:17, I will restore health unto thee and heal thee of thy wounds. In spite of all that called you an outcast, God has a better plan for your life. Good news, the potter has not quit. He's still in business. And then Joel 2:25, it's never too late with God. I will restore unto you those wasted and lost years. And one more time, Psalms 23:13, when you come to the end, it is only God's beginning. He restoreth my soul. Now God said to Jeremiah, and I certainly would like to liken this unto us here this morning. I thank God we have a church where you can come and hear the word of God. I thank God that this church is not, as some have been and some still are, telling you that Jesus was not virgin born, that there is no heaven, there is no hell, that there are no absolutes, that the miracles of Jesus are just good stories and good moral teachings. I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ was and is verily the Son of the living God. I'm here to tell you that God's on the throne. You pick a fight with anybody, but don't pick a fight with God. And I'm here to tell you that God's word works. so shall my word be. Folks, I just can't shake some things off that God's just been pouring and pouring into me. So shall my word be. Not maybe shall my word be, or on a lucky day, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. If you can find what came out of his mouth, it's yours. Now let's go back to Jeremiah, the 18th chapter. The word of the Lord which came to Jeremiah saying, arise. You know, that's the first step out of your mess is to get up. I never will forget Oral Roberts telling the story of a man who had had a terrible life of liquor and whatever. And he said, fella, he said, you got to get up. He said, Oral, I've been down so long I don't even think about getting up. And that's the sad state of many lives today. You've got to get up. Shake yourself. Arise, that's what the Lord said. Arise, go down to the potter's house. And there I will cause you to hear my words. Whether I'm preaching or not, I have heard life-changing words in this house for me. I feel so sorry for people that don't go, especially the ministers that don't go to church unless they're preaching. What I would miss if I didn't hear the other ministry gifts. How many times has my life been touched by every member of this staff? And we have powerful ministry gifts in this house. And when I come to church making a faith demand upon God and His Word. I come to church expecting to get a word from God. So all I got was one word. That'll change your life if you believe it. It's the trouble with most of you. You got too many words you don't believe. You got 14 notebooks full of stuff that you don't really believe. One word that you believe will change your life. One verse, one word, one insight, one revelation will change your life. I'll cause you to hear my words. Oh God, let it be today. Let there be revelation knowledge in this auditorium. Lord, not just Pastor Bob Nichols preaching, but let someone hear a life-changing word for them. In Jesus' name, I declare it for a decree. And then I went down to the potter's house. Now, some folks would have still been arguing about that. They would have found their bones bleached. And if you could bring those bones back, you'd say, you know, when I died, I was thinking about going down. Some way, somehow, I was going to get a word from God. But then I went down to the potter's house. And behold, I saw. You know, it's not just what's preached. Look at all the miracles you see when you come. And behold, I saw. I look in this section and I see miracles. I look in the choir and I see miracles. I see God's word. I look all over this auditorium and I see God's word. But what happened? He saw the clay, the potter, and the wheel. And lo and behold, the vessel of clay that the potter made was marred in the hands of the potter. Now let me ask you a question. Did God do that? Did the potter do that? The devil made me do it. Who marred the clay? The clay made a bad decision. Did God mar the clay? Did God make you do wrong? Did God make you sin? Did God make you drop out? Did God make you get a spirit of offense? Did God send Michael or Gabriel to cause you to do something wrong? No! The clay was marred in the process of the potter's hands. The wheel was turning. The potter's master hands were working. But the clay was marred. You say, how do you know about this? Because my clay has been marred. All of us would be a little further down the road if we had just stayed on the word all the time. Spoken the word only. refuse to take a side trail of offense or frustration or faithlessness. And folks, this is what church is all about, to bring us back into line. To bring us back into line is a tire on an automobile. You leave it alone for a while, it'll ruin the tire, and if it goes its full route, it will cause damage to the automobile. One thing to do is just get the tire back in line. I'll tell you, there's nothing like the Word and the Spirit to get your tire back in line, to get you back on track. I mean, some of you have been fighting a bad attitude all week, and some of you wanted to have one, but you knew the consequences, but you're still frustrated about that. And finally, you've come into this house this morning, and you just say, oh, forget it. Forget it. I'm just going to go God's way. I'm just going to do it God's way. It's like one brother said, he said, I wanted to make a bad confession so bad, but I knew the consequences of it. But that frustrated me too. Behold, I see God in you. I saw God yesterday as a couple repeated their vows that would have been another statistic. It was a 25th wedding anniversary, well, in two more days. But it was a celebration of God's faithfulness instead of a celebration of departure. God is a good God. And I looked at children and I saw a family. And I just said, isn't this wonderful how God can put the pieces back together again? I saw. But the vessel of clay that the potter made was marred in the hands of the potter. Did God make David commit that sin? No. Did God make Moses to throw down the tablets of the Ten Commandments? No. Did God make Peter to curse? No. The clay for that period of time was marred in the hands of the potter. We know it can be because we could all give that testimony. It was the clay's fault, not the potter. Now, if we'd been the master craftsman, you know, they had a pile, a stack of pottery out behind the potter's house that were cracked vessels. They were vessels that they worked and they worked and they worked, and for some reason it just didn't come together, and they had to throw them out in the dumpster. Cracked pots. You wouldn't want to try to drink out of a cracked pot, put iced tea or hot coffee or water, whatever. See, God wants us to be a vessel of honor, not a cracked pot, not a weirdo. God wants us to be complete. If you were the potter and you were working with the clay, you might have thrown this vessel out the back door and said, I'll start on some other clay that will appreciate it. There's two things that happened here. The clay didn't quit and the potter didn't quit. The clay did not quit and the potter did not quit. You know, you really have to work at backsliding. Now, you can go into phase one real quick, but I mean, if you're going to really pull it off, you really got to work on it. But you know what the clay did? The clay said, I don't know what happened. I don't even understand myself sometimes. You know, we try to cop out on that one. But if that potter will just put me back on the wheel, if that potter will just add a little more water, the washing of the Word, if that potter will just put his hands on my piece of clay, I'm going to cooperate. I think of some times God had me on the wheel, I didn't cooperate very well. And if I had been God, I probably would have thrown me out the back door into the cracked pots. But the clay said, if he'll just put me back on the wheel one more time. And that's why every one of us are in this auditorium today. One more time, the grace of God reached out to you and said, I'm going to work with your clay. Don't take for granted God putting you back on the wheel one more time. Don't take for granted God's grace and God's mercy that said, I'm going to work with him one more time. I'm going to work with her one more time. I know God works with us many times, but there are some times are more important than other times. And while your heart is tender and while the Spirit of God's speaking to your heart, thank God we're on the wheel. Well, I just don't like the vessel that the potter is forming me to be, so I'll just mess up so he'll have to do it all over again. I want to be a teapot, or I want to be a water pitcher, or I want to be a vase, you know. How can you get to be a vase from an old hunk of clay? I want to be something that they put in antique shops for years to come, and they'll say, "Whew, isn't that beautiful?" Some of us are rugged, some of you are dainty. Some of you hold a lot, and some of you hold a little. Some of you don't put up with much. But could you celebrate with me the two ingredients of success? A potter who was willing to work with the clay, and the clay who finally said, "Potter, do what you gotta do. Just make me the vessel I need to be." The clay did not quit, and the potter did not quit. And there's two expressions here that I want you to get a hold of. "So he made it again." It's amazing grace. He made it again. Thank God for amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved what had been a wretch like you. Once was lost, now I'm found. He made it again. My wife is one of the sweetest, most purely godly motivated people I've ever known in my life. Now, I just had a little different twist before God got me settled down. And every once in a while, I can't go there. I can't stay there. Sometimes I think, if I'd been God, I would have just quit the project right there. The promises I made, the things I purposed to do, the commitments I made that I didn't follow through with. You know, you're young and you're zealous. But he made it again. I don't know about you, but that's the story of Pastor Bob Nichols. He made it again. That's why you're here. That's why I'm here. Some more, some less. But he made it again. He was willing to make it again. He was willing to go again, try again, pray again, give again, go again. That's why we're here today. But the latter part of that is, I think, is as significant as the phrase, "He made it again." He made it again another vessel. You know the thing about this walk of grace? Hold steady when all hell is breaking loose. Hold steady when you don't understand your own emotions. Hold steady when your thoughts go tilt. You know what God has in store for you? Another vessel. You're not going to know yourself. I have a long way to go, but sometimes I look at myself in the mirror and I say, "Boy, you've come a long way." God has brought you a long way. Oh, I know there's people that have never committed the five cardinal sins, whatever they are, but boy, are they a mess. You cross them and you better be glad they don't know karate. One husband said before he got his marriage settled down, he said, "My wife had a black belt in tongue." Someone suggested that she get a weapon at one time that things were so difficult. Many years ago, I heard this story. He said she didn't need a gun. She had a tongue, and that's all she needed. She got through with me with that tongue. I was dead. Grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all of my sin. He made it again, and he made it another vessel. Not what I used to be, but what he designs and desires for me to be. Another vessel. He made it again. He did it again. His grace knocked on your door one more time. He did it again. And when you said yes, he started making you to be another vessel. Oh, that's what the full gospel is all about. You don't just hide behind your old craziness and depravity and what a mess I am and pet this old flesh. But you say, God, make me another vessel. Make my mind to be another mind. Make my body to be another body. Let my spirit rise and soar with the wings of the eagle. Another vessel. You know what kind of a vessel it was? As seemed good to the potter to make it. I thought I had some big orders for God on what to do about my ministry. But he has done exceeding abundantly above all that I could ever ask or think. I never thought that at this time in my life or ministry that God would have this church in such a vantage point internationally and even nationally as far as God wants to take it. But you see what God's doing. God's not working out your pet project. What this is all about, God is making you again another vessel as seems good to the potter to make it. Did not Jesus say, follow me and I will make you to become fishers of men? Follow me. Follow me. Let God chart your course. Let God lead. Let God guide. Oh, thank God he did not answer some of the prayers that I prayed along the way. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I don't theologically understand that, but I just thank you, Lord. He gave me the best ministry, the best wife, the best church. And thank God I'm in a place of life. I'm in a place of life. I'm in a church that is alive. We can do things for God and see things happen in the name of the Lord. Folks, get a hold of this. What it's all about is, let your clay say yes to God because God's saying yes to you. Let the potter put you back on the wheel again. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Thank God the potter has not quit. So how do you summarize these things? Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Repent for your sins and failures of the past. Stay on the wheel. Stay on the wheel. Don't leave. Just let go and let God have his wonderful way. Man, it seems like I've been going around for so long. As long as you're on God's wheel, it's a good busy, okay? As long as you're on God's wheel, it's going to come out all right. Stay on the wheel. Don't leave. Let go and let God. Stand in faith believing. Stand on the word of God daily, hourly, moment by moment. Stand, speak God's word. Be not weary in well doing. In due season you shall reap if you faint not. I'm telling you, age has nothing to do with it. It's a matter of the heart. It's a matter of the heart. Oh, if I'd known this 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 30 years ago, now is your day. Now is your day of turnaround. Let the potter put your clay back on the wheels, zip the lip, agree with God, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that in due time he may exalt you. Exalt yourself and you still go to the back of the class. Repent for sins and failures of the past if you need to do that. Stay on the wheel. Don't leave. Let go and let God. And then daily, hourly, if it happens to be moment by moment and second by second, stand in the Word. Stand on the Word. Speak God's Word only. Speak God's Word only. Because Isaiah 55 said, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return void, but it shall accomplish what pleases God, and it will prosper in that. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. And so as we look at these final moments, here's what God is saying in verse 6, because there's always someone questioning God. Okay, God, again, another vessel. It seems good to the potter to make it, but you just don't know me. Then the word of the Lord came. Sometimes the word of the Lord has to come again stronger, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? Am not I greater than this potter? Saith the Lord, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand. As the clay is in the earthly potter's hand, so is your clay in my hand. Stay on the wheel. Stay on the wheel. Let your clay today make a firm commitment. Yes, Lord, yes, I'll stay on the wheel. Whether you want me to be a water jug or a teacup, whatever you want me to be, do it, Lord. And as the man, his hand was restored as the other is, Jeremiah said, I will restore health unto thee and heal thee of thy wounds. As Joel said, I will restore unto you the years. And as Psalms relates, he restoreth my soul. Good news, the potter hasn't quit. Good news, the potter is still in business. Good news, the potter's still in the yellow pages of God's Bible.